you for that prayer. We have a very special occasion today that we are here lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to do. It's like a little sanctuary out of the world. It's a place we can come and share with one another our deepest heartfelt feelings and think about goodness, righteousness, all the precious things that God in His infinite wisdom has bestowed on each and every one of us. Such a precious, precious thing. I read in the Proverbs that in order to have friends, man must show himself friendly. And I find that when I come here. Brother Bobby just grabs a hold of you, so friendly, and each and every one of you. It's good to have friends. And Moses, God talked to Moses as a friend face to face. And I felt this friend, I felt God as a friend through him this morning, talking to us as a friend. It's a precious thing that we can see in one another the workings of God and the workings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He sends His love through each and every one of us to others. That fellowship is a precious, precious thing. You can't have fellowship without God. You can't have fellowship without the love of God in our hearts.
Amen.
We have such a beautiful nature and place to live that our Father in heaven has made for us. It's a precious thing to see the seasons when they come and they go, and the newness of life. And I can't help but reflect a little bit on Solomon. In his teachings, in Ecclesiastes, he calls himself a preacher. And he was, of course, the wisest man that ever lived, according to the Scripture, except for our Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has some very good teachings in the Scriptures, telling us about who's really in charge, who has set up this world in His ways, whose shoulders the government is on. In fact, in Isaiah, I might start there. Can't get out of that book. Ninth chapter of Isaiah. Start at the second verse. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Talking about our Lord and Savior. Sixth verse, for unto us a child is born.
Amen.
Unto us a son is given.
Amen.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. We don't understand it all, what we go through each and every day. But one thing I want to assure you, my dear friends, is that he is in charge. He controls all things. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. His reign does not end.
Amen.
And he reigns today. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. How precious is that, my dear friend?
Amen.
It gets in us. We get away from the world and we come to this little sanctuary that's full of fountains and palm trees in the desert. Our precious Jesus Christ has set up this kingdom. Upon this rock shall I build my church. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter, we see the way that God has put together our lives that we live. Not to our understanding, but to his understanding and his purpose. Listen to what he says in the third chapter. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We can go through these line by line, scripture by scripture, and see the wonders of God and what he's saying here. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in wherein he laboreth? He made time for us. An eternal God that knows no time. That time is for us in this life that we may understand his power and his might. Today is a very special day. This is the beginning, I've heard, out there in man's knowledge of the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, eternal life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Did you know there's a time to hate? When God hates something, we should hate it also.
Amen.
And God hates sin. His only begotten Son died for our sins.
Amen. That's right.
he hath made. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. You go through travail in your life to be exercised by God in your tribulations. We learn things from God because He cares for us. If we are going down the wrong way, the wrong path, He's going to correct us because we are sons. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. It's not in our time. All things are for His purpose, not for our purpose, because He knows best, and the government is on His shoulders.
Amen. That's right.
It's not of us.
Amen.
It's of Him. It is our precious One that is in all goodness. All things are good in God. And we look at goodness towards God and see that all things are beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Have you got it figured out, brothers and sisters? I tell you, I've searched diligently within my heart, within my mind, within my soul. And it all points to God above. It all points towards the steps of Jesus Christ that walked on this earth and showed us a way to live.
Amen.
It's a precious thing that we have. This little sanctuary that we come together and share, as our dear brother told us, as he was talking to us as a friend, by God, this is the most important thing.
Amen.
That we do in our lives.
Amen.
That's to lift up and glorify our God and Savior.
Amen.
Above.
Amen.
We have a purpose. We have a reason. We have a motivation. We have something that excelleth beyond this world. How precious is it?
True.
When I see the smiles on my brothers and sisters' faces and the gleam in their eye, I know it's of God.
Amen.
I know it's God that worketh in them to will and to do of His good pleasure, not of ours. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Isn't that precious? That we know that He bears good gifts to us. That He is good to hear, good to listen when we pray to Him. That all the abundant life that He gives us, we don't have to worry about starving to death. He provides. He says also, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him.
Amen.
God is in charge.
Amen.
You might not recognize it. You might not realize it. You might not obey that. But that is the way it is, my dear brothers and sisters. We are but filthy rags in our righteousness without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ performs in us, it is a thing that is a cut above this world. It's so precious It's so wonderful, and you see it and you feel it because of the presence of God in you. He has put His law in our inward parts.
Amen.
He's put it in our minds. Amen. He's put it in our soul that we may know the good things and what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
We need to be so thankful each and every day because of the wonderful God that we have and the love of His Son that is so precious to us. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Then He says something here. We think we've got it all figured out. Have you ever heard the old saying, what goes around comes around? I want you to notice this verse. He says it in two places in His writings, in a just a little different way, that we may understand that He is in charge. He says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. This is an eternal God we're talking about here. An omnipresent God. An omniscient God. Omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times.
Amen.
That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. There is a reason for time in this world. And God explains it to us. He says over back in the first verse, in the ninth verse of the first chapter, He said, the thing that hath been, think about this, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. He says, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no thing under the sun. God in His providence guides the entire world, the entire universe, and He is in charge.
Amen.
Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Now let me tell you, there is one way, and the only way that all things become new is through God, through Jesus Christ, because in Him all things become new. That is a precious thing that we need to understand and grab a hold of, that all of us in this natural world have nothing without Him, without His presence, without His government, His proclamations, without His words, without His sanctuaries, without His loving people, without His presence, we are nothing.
Amen.
He says in another place, without the Spirit, man is a beast. But with His wonderful presence and the Spirit above, that bears witness, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Right.
What a pleasurable, wonderful thing that is. It's indeed a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for your loyalty to our God and Savior. Thank you for your love that you pass on in this world from Him. May the Lord be with you, is my prayer.
Thank the Lord. just rejoiced so much already this morning in good news of the sovereignty of Almighty God, that God is in control. God does not predestinate every event that takes place, but as Brother Darrell said, His providential care, His providential direction, He is absolutely, positively in charge. And that's good news for us as God's little children today, to know that it's not in our hands, that our life is in the hands of a loving, merciful God, and you and I can trust and depend upon Him. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in your hearing. I'll probably read a lot more than I try to speak from in the time we have remaining. I was hoping Brother Darrell would just keep right on going, but I don't want to close out before 12 because there's so many good things for us to say, and I wish he could have just kept on going. But we'll look here, if the Lord will bless us, for just a little bit at a portion of Scripture found in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you, and it'll be a blessing just to read this chapter because it's a beautiful chapter. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. The writings of the Apostle Paul in the church at Philippi. And love to read in the Acts of the Apostles how the Lord called that little group together out of Philippi. And the Apostle Paul was sent to them, people that are already prepared of the Lord. He went and preached to them where prayer was wont to be made. Little Lydia was meeting. And the Lord came to that little group, and the Philippian jailer and all that were there at the church at Philippi. I think of the wonderful workings of Almighty God in the lives of the Lord's people at that particular place. And as I think about that, I think about how the Lord's moved among us. And, you know, we have a whole lot to be thankful for. How the Lord in our individual lives has called us out of nature's darkness. We didn't get here by accident, so to speak. I believe the Lord has led us. This is the way the Lord has led me in a way that I would not have chosen myself or directed myself. But what a blessing today to gather together with a portion of the Lord's people called from different walks of life, where we can sit together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's really what the visible assembly of the Lord's church, the Lord's visible assembly is. It's God's children that have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, but that have been called together, and we're here for the purpose of worshiping the Lord and helping one another as we tarry in this world for just a little while. We're not where we're going to be. We haven't arrived. That's the message the Apostle Paul is telling the brethren here, is that we're on the way to a wonderful promise and a wonderful place, and we are in a blessed place, but we're not where we're going to be. We're not at home yet. We have not yet arrived. But we have a sweet hope and a sweet promise in the Word of God that we will arrive and will attain unto that which the Lord has purchased for us. Philippians chapter 3, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And I love the Apostle Paul giving affirmation to all ministers of the gospel that when you stand before God's children, it's okay to tell them the same thing you told them last time you saw them. And as a matter of fact, if we're going to preach the gospel, much of what we say will be a repeat. I hope the repeats don't bore you. I hope the repeats don't make you tired or weary. I hope the repeats excite you. Because when the Lord's in the matter, God's little children are reminded again of what the Lord has done for us. It's good to say the same thing we said the last time. We don't get tired of singing Amazing Grace, do we? I hope not. Because it says such a wonderful message. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Those old hymns that I sang a long time ago now are some of the most precious to me. I like new ones, and I like the old ones. I like those hymns that speak of God's sovereignty, of God's power. What the Lord has done gives honor and glory to the Lord. And the same message of salvation by grace, which I heard again today preached. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it, for God doeth it. that men should fear before him. That's a message of a sovereign God who had a love for his people and was able to save them. That's not a new message to you this morning, that the Lord was able to save his people. You wouldn't want to hear something new. The Apostle Paul said, for me to he rejoiced. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And that's where we will rejoice today. It's in the Lord, and we have a lot to rejoice about. We might not get off verse 1. We have a lot to rejoice in what the Lord's done for us. We have his salvation. Can you rejoice in his salvation today? Isn't it good to know that one day we'll be with the Lord in glory? Isn't it good to know that we didn't have to do that, get ourselves into that, have to keep ourselves in that? And if we'd have had to do something to get it, we'd have to do a whole lot to keep it. The good news is, you weren't able to do anything to get it. There's not any, and the only thing you could do, and the only thing you would do left to yourself, would be contrary to all that would be necessary for you to be in heaven. There is no righteousness outside of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you and I can rejoice today in that we had a Savior who loved us so much that he died for us on the cross, and we're clothed in his righteousness. Not only will we be clothed in heaven, but we are clothed right now, and as we trust him, we walk in that righteousness. May the Lord bless us to do that. To rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in his salvation, rejoice in his resurrection. Isn't it wonderful to know that he died, but that he rose again? And the very fact that he rose again gives evidence that we will rise with him. The very last verse in this chapter tells us that. He says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I say, thank the Lord that he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The Lord who gave his life not only had the power to give it, but he had the power to take it up again. No man could have taken it if he not freely given it. But the sure as he freely gave it, he gave it for his people, and he took it up again, and he seated on the right hand of the Father. And one day he's coming, and he who ascended is going to descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and he will change our vile body. No idea or thought here about the Apostle Paul saying, I've got myself clean enough now that I can go to heaven. You know, there's some people who believe that. They believe that, you know, the Lord's done this for you. Now you've got to keep it. You've got to stay perfect. You've got to stay holy. And if you have any sin in you, there's no sin that can enter into heaven, and therefore you won't make it. And they're laboring, working diligently and hard, trying to live good enough and right enough so the Lord will accept them. I'm telling you, there's no peace in that. There's no rest in that. And worst of all, there's no giving God glory in that. That glory comes right back to man. I want us all to know today that without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be absolutely no hope for any of us to ever be in heaven and immortal glory. But because of what Jesus did, one day he's coming and he's going to change our vile body and make it and fashion it like unto his glorious body. We'll be like him. We won't be him because he's one of a kind in heaven. He's the light of heaven. He's the glory of heaven. He's the beauty of heaven. He's our all in all in heaven. And we're not going to be like him in that we'll be little gods, like some people believe. We'll be little gods. There's only one God. We won't be God, but we'll be like him in that we'll be without sin, without spot, without blemish, without sickness, without anything that comes as a result of sin. We'll be made holy and righteous like unto him. Won't that be wonderful? I hope you believe it'll be wonderful. I hope you desire to have as much of that as you can live and have right now here in this time world. But Paul said this. He said, I'm not there yet. I've not apprehended that which I'm apprehended for. That's a strange language. Let's just look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul said, I'm not perfect yet. You and I aren't perfect yet. I didn't have to tell y'all that, did I? Y'all already know that. My wife, and I've told this before, but I always think of it when I get on a text like this. Back when we first met, I must have come off pretty arrogant. But she bought me a little t-shirt. Y'all might remember that saying, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're imperfect in every way. And she bought me a little t-shirt. I couldn't even wear that t-shirt now because I couldn't fit in it, but that's okay. But I thought to myself, you know, sometimes men start thinking they're perfect. The Apostle Paul knew he wasn't perfect. And I'm telling you, if the Apostle Paul wasn't perfect, we're sure far from perfect. And if you don't, sometimes men think they're perfect, but the idea and the thought is that there's none. There was only one that was perfect, ever, that was perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only true perfection you and I will ever enjoy, it will be in Him. But we're looking forward to that. Isn't that going to be good? It's going to be good when we're made like unto Him. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I fall after, which means the Apostle Paul said, I'm working, I'm laboring to be as good as I possibly can, to live as free from sin as I possibly can. I'm not sitting here in this world saying I can't be perfect, so it doesn't matter how I live, or using it as an excuse, as sometimes we do, saying, well, I can't be perfect. I'm not perfect, so I might as well just live any old way. The Apostle Paul desired to be as much like the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment that he lived as he could be. And he knew one day he would be made like unto him, but he knew this. It wouldn't be because I got it all straightened up and made myself correct. Paul trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for his justification. That means his righteousness. He also trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for his sanctification. That means to walk as much as he can like the Lord. Listen, today you and I ought to be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as we get to heaven, but how we are to live right now in this world. I am to walk and to talk and to behave myself in a way that I'm looking to the Lord to give me the strength. Lord God, should we not say this in our hearts? Lord, guide my tongue so I speak the right thing. Lord, guide my eyes so they're looking in the right place. Lord, guide my heart that I might be meditating on the right things. Lord, fill my head so I'm not scared about everything in this world, but I'm trusting in Thee. Lord, may I live every single day of my life in the realization that You have loved me and that You're with me and You'll never leave me and You'll never forsake me. And though I haven't attained there, Paul said, I want to be as close there as I can be for the moment and the time that I'm in. And I'm on my way. Paul wasn't on his way because Paul was something. Paul was on his way because his Savior was something. And the Savior who's going to carry him out of this world and be with him is going to also work in him every single day, every single moment until he leaves this world. Isn't that good news to know? That's what he's saying. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow, if that I may apprehend. This word apprehend means he's going to take it eagerly. He's going to lay hold on it, that he may apprehend it. He said, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. That sounds strange. You know, that word apprehend and apprehended, what are you talking about, the apostle? But it's pretty clear what he's talking about. It means Jesus reached down when the Apostle Paul wasn't looking for him, and he touched his life, and he made him different. He made him walk different, talk different, act different, behave different. He became, as Brother Darrell has already told us, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his whole life was turned around. That persecuting Paul, Saul, became a praying Paul. He fell down on his knees, and a change had taken place in his life, and that's because of the work of the Lord. And the final end of that change will one day, Paul will be with the Lord and is now with the Lord in glory. And Paul yet hasn't reached that full attain when the resurrection of the body will take place. And Paul, along with every one of God's children, will be with him, body, soul, and spirit, with the Lord forever. And that's going to happen for every little child of grace. But what Paul is saying is, I want to live in it right now as much as I can. That's where I'm at. Are you tired a little of this old world? If you realize it's not your home? Sometimes we get so tired of it we want to leave it. Listen, he said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. When that time comes from us, it'll be time to leave it. But until that time, it's time to live in it. And the way we're to live in it is not by our own strength, not by our own might, not by our own wisdom, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Listen, when Jesus died and rose again, He gave you power. He gave you power to live. Jesus died for sin, that you and I might die to sin. He gave us the ability to live better and to act better and talk better. Not because you and I got it right. We get that power through the blood of Jesus. Do you believe you could be a better wife? Do you believe you could be a better husband? Do you believe that you could be a better church member? Do you believe that you could be a better follower of Christ? If you try to do that on your own, you've gotten caught up in a work system. And the Apostle Paul said, you watch out for those dogs. You know, beware of dogs. I always take that as being so scared of dogs. I'm wary of dogs everywhere I go. But he wasn't talking about those kind of dogs. He was talking about the false teachers who do bite and devour God's little children, who do rob God's little children, who do not speak up and teach God's little children. He's talking about those who come with false teaching. Listen, we are to beware of them, and we are to lay hold of those who tell us that we are to walk and live in a way to look to the Lord and lean upon the Lord. And when we lean upon the Lord, we're leaning upon the one who one day is going to carry us home to be with Him in glory. And we'll find the peace and the rest and the joy. We're not done, but we're stopping. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and I love you. God bless you.
And I want to lay hold on to what I was apprehended for. He wanted to be what the Lord would have him to do.